Good afternoon. It is a Tuesday, January the 23rd, 2018, 14 minutes past 12 o'clock. You are tuned into the Now program right here on WWGH Radio. Now, we've got something very interesting for you this hour that I want to get to in just one moment. Just want to let you know what's coming up next hour on the program today and tomorrow. Tomorrow on the program, for the entire two-hour broadcast from 12:10 to 2 p.m., we're going to be joined live in studio by the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, live in studio tomorrow with the big governor's race and everything going on. It'll be a lot of fun to have Mary Ellen in the studio tomorrow, 12:10 to 2 p.m. And coming up at 1 o'clock today, 10 after 1, we're going to be joined by Bill Catt, William Catt, the star of the hit television series, The Greatest American Hero. And here's a little fact about William Catt. His mother was Barbara Hale. Do you remember Barbara Hale? She was Della Street for all those years on the Perry Mason series. So William Catt coming up at 1 o'clock today. But this hour, I thought with everything going on, even though we've got the government back up and running, as it were, a lot of talk in this country in regard to immigration. Now, I did some checking. I checked some facts, looked through some paperwork, did my homework, and I found out who the head of immigration is, the guy you have to go to before you get into this country, is. And I found him, and I have his name here. Now, his name is Tom Compton. Tom Compton. We got our runners out, and we found this guy. We found him in his office. His office is in an odd place. His office is actually in Wisconsin. So go figure. But we are so glad to bring you to these airwaves for the first time the head of immigration in the United States, Tom Compton. Tom, how are you?
All right. I'm very good. Thank you very much. Well, it's nice you called me because I was sleeping a little bit, because there's really not too much to do when you're ahead of immigration.
Now, Tom, I haven't had a chance to speak with you. Now, your name is Tom Compton, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like you have a thick German accent.
Well, actually, I'm not from Germany. I'm originally from Vienna. I had a wonderful job in Vienna. I worked in a sausage factory, and I used to take big sausages and cut them up into little sausages, and I put them in a can. Sometimes it was very difficult to get those little things in there.
Well,
but they put me, when I came to this country, during the war I snuck in. And anyway, they made me the head of immigration.
Well, how did you get that job? How did you go from making small Vienna sausages to the head of immigration for the United States?
There's people in this country, you know, the United States, which is a wonderful country. Oh, you live here too, don't you? That's right. But you know something? I got the head of immigration because nobody really wanted the job. It is very difficult, as you can tell, what's happening now in this country with the troubles with the DACA and all of those things. Getting the people in, getting the people out, who belongs, who doesn't belong. It's a very difficult job.
I can imagine it would be. Now I have to go back to this, and forgive me for this. When you were back in Germany, was your name Tom Compton?
I got that name. You know something, when we got here, my name is not Tom Compton. It's Russell Stierlikain. Stierlikain.
Stierlikain.
It's my real name.
How do you spell that?
But it's very difficult. When I made my little cards, you know, to give to people, it didn't look good, Russell Stierlikain. So I changed my name to Tom Compton. I looked at the telephone directory and I went, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Well, eeny, meeny, miny, moe is not a good name. So what I did, I went, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, Tom Compton.
So your real name, your given name, your birth name is Russell Stierkind.
Yeah, and so that's just my given name. I didn't realize that they gave me that name, you know, until I got later when my mother and father was in the German army, but not a Nazi. I want people to know that because he had one arm, my father, and he couldn't lift the right arm to make that sign. You know, they lifted the way they used to lift it. So he was only a half a Nazi.
Well, that's good to know. So, Tom, what does the head of immigration in the United States do these days?
Well, I tell you, I would like to do it one at a time. I'd like to take the people and interview them one at a time. But we have so many people that want to come to this country. You know, this happens to be a very good country. That's what all the people fight about and everything else. They want to come to the United States. It is the greatest country in the world. I got here and I married a girl. She was an American beauty, it's plain to see. I married a girl by the name of Kathy. Every time we talk about immigration, I have to sing that song.
Well, it's a wonderful song. So you cannot interview the people individually.
No, well, you can't do that, you know, because there's so many people that want to come to this country. Maybe there's a few of them that want to sneak out, you know, but that's another problem.
Now, do you have to turn people down from coming in?
Yeah, you know, and I want to tell you something. This is the truth. When I turn them down, I cry because I know they want to get to this country, this wonderful United States. And when I say to them, you can't come in, you see, and I rip up their cars, I cry. I actually cry. I tell them it's a terrible shame.
Oh.
And then they can't come in. And then I say, get out!
You know? Well, now, Tom or Russell, whichever it may be, the government opened back up yesterday. It was shut down for 3 days. Now, when the government shut down, are you allowed to go home?
Yeah, well, I tell you the truth. This is my home. So, I mean, I don't want to go back to Germany, you know.
No.
As I said before, I was not from Germany. I was from Vienna.
No.
It's different in Vienna to Germany.
No, Tom.
But, yes, it shut down for 3 days. And already, you want to know something? The country ran better on these 3 days than it does all during the year. So they may shut down again in February.
Well, I'm gonna take another swipe at this. Tom, I mean, do you get to leave the office when the government shuts down?
Oh, yeah, we got to leave the office, sure. I got to eat something. I go to the different places, you know, McDonald's. And we never had that in Germany. We used to have those little Vienna sausages. No, yeah, I get to leave. And you'd be surprised how many people want to come with me.
Oh, I can imagine. Now, Russell, Tom, have you ever, do you report directly to the president? Who do you report to?
You want to know something? I've been in my office a long time now, and I don't know who I go to. So I go to work every day once I come to my office, and they're really not, I don't know who's in charge of this country. I mean, there's a lot of dissension with people, with the president.
Is there anybody else in this office with you?
Once already in the office?
Yeah, is there anybody
else?
Yeah,
I got my whole family is here. I snuck them out of Vienna. Oh, and so my brother Max and Boris, Yeah, I got all those people. They're glad to be in the USA. This is the country I want to stay. I open my voice and I sing this song. Living in Europe is very wrong.
Well, Tom, I was a little shocked this morning to learn that your office was in Wisconsin. Why Wisconsin?
But there's a lot of Germans and Vienna people in Wisconsin, you know. And so we go directly, when we snuck into the, I shouldn't have said that. When we came to this wonderful country, you see, we all wanted to get together, the same people, for our language. You know what I mean?
Well, now, you snuck in?
Well, we didn't exactly sneak in, you know what I mean? We changed our names. We came through, different places. And what's a country with, oh, my God, I can't think, because it was very difficult to get here. But we had a difficult time to get to this country. But I'll say again, it's a wonderful country, the USA.
Now, how long have you been the head of immigration?
Well, I'm not only the head, I'm the arms, I'm the body, I'm the feet, I'm everything. When they say, how long have you been the head? I make a joke there. I've been already, when I come here, I just made those little cards. You know, and I said I was the head of immigration. I really am not, you know. I lie a lot.
No, you're not the head of immigration.
No, I'm in jail right now.
This is your one call from jail?
Yeah, they give me one call to make in jail. You know, I tell everybody, you know, und ready. I could have given myself any title. I could have given myself vice president, secretary of state. So I took this immigration.
So you actually do this job from jail?
Yeah, well, not exactly from jail. They let me out every once in a while.
Well, that's kind of them. What are your duties? Are you ever evaluated? Do you have a supervisor? Maybe a warden?
Oh, yeah, we have a warden. We have a very good warden. And he's an Italian, and he's very tough.
Well, I've always heard
very tough man.
I've always heard the Germans and the Italians got along very well.
Oh, yeah, you know, Hitler and Mussolini, they were a good comedy team, you know.
did you know?
Yeah, but Hitler, you know, he was like a straight man to Mussolini. Mussolini liked to stand on a balcony and make speeches, you know. And it was like target practice for different people, you know. They would come out there and Mussolini was standing on the balcony and the people were taking shots at him.
Now, did you ever know Hitler or Mussolini?
Well, I didn't know them personally, but I was, I saw them many times. I saw Mussolini on the balcony, and the other guy was always wanted big crowds to make speeches. Was geschlagen über die Gnade Deutschland, und blicken drauf und gelieben bei solches Gestütze, Rummer, raus mit dir, you know. Oh, yeah, he liked to scream and yell and everything.
Now, what's the translation for what he was screaming and yelling there?
Well, you want to know something? He was telling the people that he didn't like Germany, that he was would like to go with the war and take different countries. He would like to get to the United States. That was his whole concept in life, was to get to the United States.
So he actually wanted to immigrate to the United States.
That's right. Now we got that word again. Yeah, he wanted to immigrate to the United States.
Well, can you give us some concept as to why it is so hard to get into the United States legally?
Well, you know something, it's very difficult for the simple reason that all the people wanted to come at the same time. It's like they all got together someplace and they said, you know what, let's go to the United States. So, I mean, they come by the boats, you know, in the boats in the water. And you know what's strange? A lot of them can't swim. They shouldn't get in the water. And they want to come. Everybody wants to come. It's the greatest country in the world. I love it. Good. Anyway, I get crazy every time I hear about the United States.
Now, we're running short of time because we have legendary comedian Shecky Green coming up next here on the program. But have you ever heard of Shecky Green, Tom?
Und Shreddy, Shecky is a German name. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, for money, shekels. You know, yeah, that was a German name. So, and money is green, so they put that together, and they got like shekels green. Und Shreddy, that's not difficult to figure out.
No, I didn't realize. Now, did Shecky ever play? He's played for popes. Did he ever play for any of the leaders over in Europe? Do you know? When you were around?
Oh yeah, he was very popular in our country. He was But the only trouble was he couldn't speak our language. He did it in English, and so a lot of people would look at each other and say, "What the hell is he saying?" You know.
Let's cover our bases here. You are Tom Compton. You are in prison. Why are you in prison?
Oh, I'm in prison because, you know, I looked for an apartment that there was nothing around at that time, you know. So I had a friend of mine that was in the government, and he said to me, well, I'll put you in prison from 1 to 10, you know.
So no crime was committed. It's just you.
No, I don't commit crimes. I'm a nice guy. Unser Reddy, there was a friend of mine, Dan Riggles. He used to sing that song, "I'm a nice guy. I'm a wonderful guy."
Well, he was wonderful. Do you get any privileges in prison? Do you get to watch any TV, listen to the radio?
Yeah, what I watch a lot of TV, but you got already the same programs with the knocking the government, and they have the Democrats against the Republicans, and they ought to sneak in one little independent to say something. You know, I don't see any more independents like we used to have. Und already Bernie Sanders is the closest thing to that.
Do you like Bernie Sanders?
Yeah, I like him, yeah. Well, but I want to tell you something. We need more harmony in this country. You know, people got to get together. Love is better than hate. Remember that I said that. Love is better than hate. I wrote a song. Love is better than hate. I can't wait for a date. My friend, let this mean kind of life quickly come to an end. Und already I made that up.
You know, you must be a lot of fun on prison talent nights.
Yeah, I win every contest.
Oh, my God.
Every time they have a contest, I win it.
I bet you do. Oh, we forgot.
Of course, I'm the only one in the contest. There's nobody else.
Well, you know, don't let that diminish what you've accomplished. Now, the president, have you ever talked to the president?
Unser Reddy, I met him one time, yeah.
And how was that?
Yeah, I went to get an apartment, you know. Unser Reddy, they said to me, you'll have to talk to Mr. Trump. So that's a good name. I play bridge a lot, and I you know, we use that word Trump. I trumped you, you know. So that's what they have now for Mr. Donald. They have, every time he makes a statement or something, they say, oh, he trumped us again.
So how did your meeting go with him?
Well, it was good. He wouldn't give me the apartment. because that was a little bit too expensive. Yeah. But you want to know something? It's frightening if you stay in Trump Towers. Because remember, in England, they used to put everybody in the tower when they wanted to get rid of them. So I wouldn't live in the tower.
Well, you know, you have something in common with him, because I believe his wife is from a different country.
Oh, yeah. She had to come through immigration. She's quite a looker, I'll tell you that. She's a beautiful girl. But you know something? I don't think after he's a president, she's going to stay with him longer.
Oh, no, you think she'll cut and run?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of problems there because, you know, they keep on talking about him with other women, you know. That shocks me that they are surprised about that.
Oh, yeah. Do you think there's a lot of shock in the world that President Trump might have been with other women?
Well, you know, there must be something about that office, because everybody that gets in there, they all of a sudden wind up with different women. Yeah, I think they really should not call it the White House. They should call it the House of Ill Repute.
Well, we've been chatting here with Tom Cotton, the head of immigration. Tom Cotton's a different person. The head of immigration here in the United States. Now, we are going to switch gears. Tom, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Sorry, thank you for calling me. I was very, very lonely. I wanted to talk to somebody.
Well, I'm sorry.
What is your name?
Scott.
Scott, yeah.
Yeah, and we're going to switch gears now, and we're going to go to our next guest, which is one of my favorite people, to get his take on what's going on in the world today. Legendary comedian on the line. I believe, do we have him on the line? We have the connection from California, Shecky Green. Shecky, how are you?
I'm fine, Scott. You know, I'm not in California. I'm in Nevada.
You know, I knew that as soon as I said that. I said, what am I
thinking?
Well,
that's all right. You didn't make that big of a mistake. Nobody's going to remember it.
No. Well, Shecky, what did you make of the government shutdown this past week?
Well, you know, nothing surprises me with this particular group of people that are in right now. It's anything can happen. The only trouble is we don't have any strength in the Republican Party. There's nobody to really take over. You know, to tell him off, or because I don't think Trump really knows from day to day what he's doing.
Well,
I hope people in Ohio don't get mad at me for saying that, but we are up in up someplace. I don't know where we're at.
It's a different type of place, and this was all over immigration. What do you make it? How should we solve this immigration problem?
Well, I mean, these people that are in, you know something, Scott, they're Americans. They were brought over here and every little tiny kids, and we need these people. These people are Americans. And when they decide that, realize that these people should not go back anyplace. I mean, how do you send people back to hell? I mean, you take a group of people, that many people, and actually send them back to hell. How could any human being actually, after these people have lived in this magnificent country, take a group of people and say, we don't want you anymore? No good.
Why?
As they say in my country, nishkit.
Well, why do you think that is such a difficult problem to solve? It doesn't seem like it'd be all that difficult.
You know what? They can't figure it out, so how can we figure it out over a conversation on TV? I mean, it's a frightening thing to me that one whole group of people want to throw them out and the other group of people want to keep them there. I mean, that's the wonderful thing about our freedoms is we can make decisions like that and later on regret them.
Well, you know,
we cannot send these people back, please.
You know, Shecky, I've been saying this for 3 years. This is my solution to the problem. All these people who are here illegally, they are shopping in our stores, they're buying our groceries, they're living in homes, they're paying rent, so they are contributors to the economy, they're buying cars, buying gasoline. So why don't we just take a month and say, okay, March, now, if you are illegal, go down, to the Social Security office anytime in the month of March and get a Social Security number, become legal. Because I think what this would do, then we would no longer have illegal immigrants, we wouldn't have to pay to kick anybody out, and they would now have to pay federal Social Security and Medicare tax like everybody else. It would boom the economy.
Well, I mean, that's very intelligent. What you should do right now is give up being on the radio and go to Washington and fight for an office and tell them how you feel. Yeah, if what you said, if we could do that, that would be wonderful. But these people we say illegal, they're not illegal anymore. They've been in this country. I know a lot of people that have come to this country that have added to our wonderful nation. I see people every day that I run into, and that they're Americans.
Well, you know, the thing that puzzles me in this whole thing is, if they come here without a visa, okay, but they're coming here for work. Now, why don't we penalize the people who are hiring these people? They're doing an illegal act. We never talk about that.
Well, I never thought about it that way. But you want to know something? Trump himself has got people working for him, Mar-a-Lago, and he's, I mean, what does he do? I mean, nobody brings that up, that he's got these kind of people working for him. And I don't know what the answer to is. Scott, if you and I knew the answer, then we'd be brilliant.
We would be.
But the people in our government don't know the answer. How are we going to find out the answer? We've got to wait and see what they're going to do and pray they do the right thing.
We hear that. What does Mar-a-Lago mean? Do you know that? I don't. What does that mean?
Mar-a-Lago?
Yeah.
It means he's making a lot of money in his golf course. I mean, the kind of money that he charges to play on the golf course and everything. You have to have special balls, pardon the expression, and special clubs and everything to play on that golf course.
You know what's interesting? I read last week he had to cancel his anniversary party of being, you know, 1 year as president, but they were charging couples to go to this party $100,000
$100,000. Would you believe that?
Oh, my God. Who could go to that party?
But who would eat the food? I mean, when it's that expensive, you put it in a box and save it for a souvenir. Nobody would eat the food. You put the cake in the box and put everything in a box and say, look, this is from a party from Trump. Am I right? Who would eat that $100,000 food?
I just can't imagine. Really? $100,000? I mean, what is the... To say you were there, is that what... Why would anybody pay that?
Well, that's what he asked for, you know. I just could see he and his wife getting together and say, what do you think we should charge? Well, I don't know, Sipi darling. You know, are we having the good cook or the bad cook?
Well, you know something interesting, Shecky. He had this anniversary, and that's what it was billed as, an anniversary party of 1 year as president. Did he celebrate his anniversary with his wife?
Well, we'll never know that. I mean, that's, oh, my God. But could I tell you something? That means that every year he's going to have a party. But he's so shocked that he made it to a year that he had this dinner.
You know,
I'm sure he says, "Are we still here?" You know.
You know, I don't know.
I don't know whether it's the White House or the wrong house that he lives in right now.
Well, I don't know. He does have some weird tendencies. But we got. Did you watch the press conference last week when his doctor got up and spoke?
Yeah, can I tell you something? I that doctor I wouldn't go to. Of course, I'd have to join the Navy to see him, but I didn't have that much. He was too rigid, too cold. I like a guy that can crack a joke or something. Yeah, he came to the office. I put a thermometer in his mouth, and he bit down on it. We had to put a bottle of scotch down for all the glass to go down. But it's every little thing that they show to the public. They shouldn't show everything to the public. They should have said, yeah, he was examined, he's good, and that's it. What? But the next day he'd probably drop dead, and then they'd say, get rid of the doctor.
Well, I want to know what this doctor, because he says President Trump insisted that he give him a mental exam. That's a little different.
I'd like to have been in that. That's the thing they should have recorded and they've shown to the public, you know. Because they had him do the ABCs and he missed W.
You know, what everybody's been talking about it, and it's superficial, but he said weighed 239 pounds?
Did he weigh that much?
I bet.
My God. If you want to know something, I take an oath, it's the truth. They put him, and they showed his weight. I went on a diet right after that.
Well, did you hear on Air Force One, he requests McDonald's, fish of fillets, and Big Macs, and French fries, and chocolate shakes.
And that's the same cook that cooked a $100,000 dinner.
That's right.
Yeah, they took him in, and he cooked all the hamburgers and everything. I mean, how do you figure that out?
You know, he doesn't have very exquisite tastes, I guess.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that, because McDonald's and all those places do very well.
They certainly do. They certainly do. Well, Shecky, I wanted to spend a little time here talking about your relationship with somebody we all remember. So, did you know Milton Berle well?
Very well.
Well, what was Milton like? A lot of people say he was difficult to work with, kind of a perfectionist.
No, let me tell you something. When they say about the performers and everything else about their difficulty work, they want the lighting right, they want the sound right. So that gets to be a complaint from people that work with them. That they're he was a perfectionist though, and he may have been difficult when he works. I think I was difficult when I worked too, because the sound had to be perfect. I used to complain about the sound every place I worked. Then I found out that I had this trouble with my left ear. Would you believe this?
Oh, my God.
I used to yell at every sound man, and then later on I found out I couldn't hear well in my left ear. That's what made me a perfectionist.
Now, of course, the number one show at that time was the Ed Sullivan Show. How many times did you appear with Ed?
I think I've appeared about 10 times.
10 times. Now, you told us about the time you came on as a German. What was Ed like? Did you ever have dinner with Ed?
Oh, yes.
What was he like off the show?
He was kind of a serious guy. Right here, Shecky, we're going to have this bread right here is a different kind of bread. This bread came from Romania. It's a rye bread. He introduced every piece of the thing at the dinner table like it was a show. And right here is a special butter. We're going to put on that bread there. But you want to know something? I had a lot of problems with him at the beginning, but later on, near the end, when Sylvie was gone and everything else, we became very, very close friends.
What was it like having?
I got to like that bread. What?
What was it like having an argument with Ed Sullivan?
Oh, I was a champ at that.
What would that have sounded like?
Well, he said to me one time after the show and everything that when I said something about his talent, he said he had more talent in his little finger than anybody's ever had on his show. Now, could you picture Ed Sullivan, who had no talent, making that man? And I said to him, and believe this or not, I says, you're completely insane. And he went, that's all, folks.
Oh, my goodness. What was with Topo Gigio? What was that all about?
Well, I mean, when you have a grown man talking to a little puppet like that, you know,
Well, but
right here, Topo Gigio. I want to give you 8 minutes on our show.
Oh, hello, Ed. My God, Ed. Oh, thank you very much, Ed. Hey, Ed, I love you, Ed.
Rough Topo Gigio, I love you, too. And you're one of the big things on my show.
Oh, thank you, Ed. It's so nice. Thank you. I put my face next to yours, Ed.
For people who don't remember, tell people what Topo Gigio was. A very strange thing.
Well, the Topo Gigio was like a little puppet, you know. But he liked those kind of things. He had, I forget his name. He used to have, also a puppeteer with the in the box. What was that? Forget about what that was.
You know, he loved those.
You people write in and tell me who I'm trying to think of.
You know, he loved those plate spinners, too.
Oh, the spinners with the plates. Yeah, and you want to know something? I remember when my mother broke a plate and she how excited she got and nervous because of it was part of a group. So every time a plate went down, I got crazy, you know. Get the one on the left, get the one on the right. Oh, go back to the one. Go look, the third one. Go down to the third one. Watch it. Right in our show, I have a plate spinner. I mean, you imagine when you introduce those acts.
I'll tell you.
Right here is an elephant. Oh, the elephant's doing something terrible on a stage.
I'll tell you, when he had the plate spinners and Topo Gigio, he thought, boy, that was one for the archives.
Well, you know, he went all over the world to find acts. You know, I guess it was he did that because CBS paid for it. But it was people had to watch the Ed Sullivan Show. It was something, and it was a lot because of him, because he would say, sitting right there is Dorothy Gray, who is starving on Broadway. Want to say starving on Broadway? So, starving on Broadway right now.
Well, Shecky, being that this is big-time television, what was your first time like on the show? How did he introduce you? What kind of material did you do? What do you remember about your first time?
My first time was the worst time. The second time was worse than that. I never did material. I didn't write anything till the night before. And I wasn't prepared for those things. And every time I got on those big shows, I was scared to death. But being with him, I mean, you would tell him what you were going to do, and he wouldn't laugh. So you couldn't tell whether it was be good or not. Shecky, I want to hear what you're going to do, because the last time you were on, you really messed up. So.
Well, he just sounds like a barrel of fun, I'll tell you. Was he running around the day of the show? Was he active?
No, we did two shows, you know. We used to do the one in the afternoon, and then we'd do the one at night, the show. And so you were bad twice.
And he let you know about that.
Oh, after the show, you know something? That audience sat there, and they didn't know what you were doing. You, Ed? No, I really didn't.
Oh, gosh, it's fun talking about Ed Sullivan. Did he?
Would you want to know something?
Go ahead.
After it's all gone, I look over and I say to myself, now, at this age, boy, I'd like to have done that over. I'd like to have done that over, you know.
His introductions were so famous. What kind of introductions did he give you?
Well, I think he said one time, tonight our show from Las Vegas, fat, young fat comedian, you know, I came out eating a sandwich.
Boy, I tell you, he wouldn't have survived today. Oh, boy, there'd be people all over him for that. Did he get Shecky Green right, which is kind of a unique name?
No, you know what? He used to say, tonight I show Chicky, Chucky, What is that fat guy's name?
And he was your friend.
Oh, I'm going to tell you something. Someday you'll get me, and I'll tell you what happened when I did a thing on the miners, and there was I think I told you about this, and there was a mine disaster in Nova Scotia. He made it sound like I made the mine disaster. I caused it.
You know,
he just lost me Canada, you rat.
You know, now that you look back on it, Shecky, you're a man, brilliant man, studies the mind. What do you think was wrong with him? What was that personality all about?
Well, he was a sports writer, you know. I think I told you this too before. He was a sport. He wasn't an entertainment type of guy. There was nothing entertaining about him. No talent. Completely no talent. But what he was an introducer. And how he got that was that Milton Berle used to do the Harvest Ball every year. One year he couldn't do it, and he says, why didn't you get Ed Sullivan? Actually, it was for a joke. And Ed Sullivan went out and introduced acts in theaters, and that's how he got the show. That's what the show became.
But you know, all these years later, all people remember is the night the Beatles were on.
Oh, well, the night the Beatles, how about Presley, who I work with?
Presley.
Presley, let me tell you, every black act that I work with used to do more dancing and more movement than Presley ever did. And they made such a big thing about Elvis Presley that they didn't show the bottom of Presley. The Beatles, my friend brought them over from England, Abe Margolies from New York. Anyway, they brought the Beatles on, and I think that they knew they were going to be good because they got big just before they got here.
But you know,
but not that big. They became the biggest.
I can't imagine, 68, I believe it was, or 67. What do you think Ed Sullivan, while he was standing on stage, thought of the Beatles?
Well, I think he called them the Brutals at the beginning. Tonight I show from England, we've got here the Brutals. Oh, the what? The Beatles.
Boy, I tell you, the screams, though, from those women.
Well, I mean, that was, you know, that stuff like that was carried over from the Sinatra era, things like that, where they started screaming at the Tom Jones and Engelbert Humperdinck and everything. That was a thing to do, these young kids. I think it was like a rehearsed act. They saw one do the other, you know, Sarah does as Mildred did.
Now you
I don't know what that meant by that.
No, I gotcha. I followed it.
Well, you did, but I didn't. Will you tell me what I just said?
All those times on Ed Sullivan, who were some of the other guests that you thought, boy, this musical act or this person is really talented?
You know, that's a funny thing. I don't remember anybody that I was on that show with. I put that show out of my mind. I was not proud of my television stuff.
You know,
I didn't have a group of writers, which was a shame, and to work on it. And I was never too proud of my television.
You know something, Shecky? This is serendipitous. I've been to the Ed Sullivan Theater. Now,
I love that word. Could you say that again?
Serendipitous.
Oh, I love that.
We're wonderful. I've been to the Ed Sullivan Theater, and I can only imagine back when there were three channels and Ed Sullivan owned Sunday night, to walk out on that stage and face that crowd and know that there's millions watching at home. What is that experience like?
Isn't that interesting? That's when I hosted the Carson show. I walked out on that stage, and it was like the same thing walking out at the Sullivan stage. I walked out, and I only knew, because coming from a nightclub, I only knew, Scott, about the audience sitting there. I didn't realize until many years later there was 16 million, 20 million people watch. When I used to think of that, I used to faint all the time. I said, I did what? You know?
Well,
it's frightening that you don't realize as you're doing it, millions of people are watching you.
Well,
millions of people are talking, turning to each other and say, he stinks.
I don't think they were saying that. But here's
you'd be surprised. I'm not too proud of the stuff I did on television.
Well,
but I made a nice living.
You made some dough. Yeah.
I supported two ex-wives.
How much did...
Thank God the alimony is over.
How much did Ed pay? How much
now, did... Now, you want to know something? I signed for 7 or 8 shows with him originally. And he paid me $3,500 a show. And later on, William Morris Agency went to him and said, we could have got him cheaper. Why? Well, ever since that time that William Morris said that, every time I came on, he said, you know something? I'm paying you too much. You know, that's a wonderful thing to walk out on the stage before millions of people and say, you're getting too much.
Well, here's our other serendipitous moment. I only heard
you say that again, please.
Serendipitous.
Every time you say that, I think of that place in New York, the Serendipity, where you go in for ice cream and stuff.
Well, it's funny because this serendipitous moment happens in New York. I interviewed Phil Donahue in the lobby of the Wellington Hotel next to Carnegie Hall, and I heard you got sick in the Wellington one time.
Oh, I forget what the name of the disease was. I got sick. I was with a partner by name of Sammy Shore, and I was in bed, and I said, Sammy, get me water. He said, Sheldon, he called me. It was my real name. He said, Sheldon, I'm afraid. He said, I once went with somebody who was sick, and I got sick, so I'm not going to go into your bedroom. So I didn't have water for 3 days. I was like on a desert. Oh, Gunga Din, bring me water, you know.
Well, as we, and I'm sad we're approaching the end of this, but how would Ed Sullivan, you know, he was a professional introducer, how would he close up a show like this?
Right now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say that this has been one of the really, really big shows of our season. I want to thank Chucky. I want to thank Topo Gigio. And I certainly want to tell that elephant who keeps everything in his trunk. Okay.
Shecky Green, one of the most brilliant guys I know. Shecky, it's always a pleasure. I hope we talk again soon.
Oh, Scott, I'd love it. I love you, Ohio. Ohio, I'll remember you forever. Ohio, that's your song.
Oh, God bless you. Shecky Green, the one and only. Thank you, Shecky.
Thank you, Scott.
In 10 minutes, we're coming back with William Catt. Don't you dare go away.
We can't put him down.
Because we don't know how much he owes.
He would not have a chance.